Good morning. We're glad to have you join us for this week's broadcast. We pray that today's message will be a blessing to you. Our scripture is coming from the book of Genesis, beginning in chapter 3, verse number 1. The Bible says, "Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, Ye shall not eat it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die, for God doth know in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat." We're going to stop right there, but we're looking today at the temptation of Eve in the garden. We're looking at Genesis chapter 3, and we need to see, we need to realize this tempter, this serpent, was Satan. Ezekiel 28 tells us Satan before his fall was an angel of the highest rank and prominence, even something of a leader of worship in heaven. Isaiah 14 tells us Satan's fall had to do with his desire to be equal to or greater than God, to set his will against God's will. Now, we may not understand everything involved in the way Satan used the body of the serpent, but we can know it is true and not a mere fable. Spurgeon said it is idle to call the narrative of the fall a mere allegory. One had better say at once that he does not believe the book. In other words, that if you don't believe this story, then you do not believe the Bible. Spurgeon goes on to say there was a real serpent. There is a real devil today, as there was a real paradise. There was a real Adam and Eve who stood at the head of our race, and they really sinned, and our race is really fallen. Believe this. And the importance of looking back at this chapter and realizing that Satan's tricks have not changed. He still uses the same tools. He still comes after us and tempts us in the same way. And as we start out in verses 1 through 5, we see, first of all, the delinquency of Eve. She did not know God's word. Look at it. "Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field. He came to Eve. He said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die." She didn't know God's word. She missed the original command. I don't know if Adam hadn't clearly told her, or if she just added to it, or wasn't paying attention. But if you look back, it says, "And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, Of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but the tree of knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die." He did not say that thou should not touch it. He never said in this, the Bible doesn't record it. You say, well, now, isn't it a good thing to not touch it? Yes, it would have been an even better thing to have stayed away from it. But we better be careful when we start adding to the Word of God. Remember the Pharisees, they had added to the Sabbath. They had added so many things that they had made what was a day of rest, a day to reflect on what God had done. They had made it a burden too grievous to bear with everything they added. And when she added this part, when she said that we should not touch it, imagine, if you will, as she may have already touched this fruit in front of Satan, and he looked at her and she realized, well, I touched it and nothing happened. I touched it and I'm okay. Hey, we need to be careful. We need to be careful that we are clear to only say what the Word of God says. Now, it is good to abstain from even the appearance of evil. The Bible clearly tells us we need to stay away. We need to flee from evil. But let's not add to God's Word. Let's make sure we know and understand what God said. But notice, not only did she add that they should not touch it, but she left out, God said they may freely eat of every other tree in the garden. Hey, Satan, he still does the same thing today. He comes to us and he tries to convince us. He tries to convince people that God is putting all these restrictions on us, and it must be an awful thing to be in such a burdensome, not to be able to do this, not to be able to do that, not to be able to live your life. But look at what all God had gave them. He had gave them an abundant supply. They could freely eat of any other tree in the garden. It was just this one tree, this one thing that they had to abstain from, and it was for their own protection. If she had known God's word, if she had realized what he had to offer and brought that forward. But there was a delinquency here in her knowing God's word. But not only that, she didn't have the right relationship. Both Satan, when he was talking, he used the word Elohim. He said, God, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. And the woman, when she replied back, she used the same word, Elohim, God, the supreme God. But what they had left out in chapter 2, whenever God spoke to them, it was the Lord God. It was the known God. It was the covenant-keeping and making God that commanded. It was the one that we knew, the one that had a relationship. She did not have the right relationship. And a lot of times we don't have the right relationship with our Savior. We don't have the right relationship with our Lord. But it is important. It's important we have a relationship not only with Him in prayer. We have a relationship where we've accepted Him as our Savior, but we have a relationship where we know and we study and we learn God's Word. He's got those restrictions. He's got those guardrails, if you will, in place to protect us. We often mess up. We often fail simply because we do not know God's Word. But God had given them plenty of ammo. He had given them plenty to use against the attack of the devil whenever Satan come after him, if they had just used it. If she had just paid attention, I believe it. God had gave him the tools to resist this temptation. But thank God, God knew, and I'm getting ahead of myself, but God knew that she was going to fall. God knew that she was going to fall, that Adam was going to fall and eat of the forbidden fruit. And I'm glad he had already planned. He had already planned redemption. Look at this. Satan's fall. Remember, Satan's fall was due to his desire to be like God. Isaiah 14:13 says, for thou hast said in thine heart, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. Verse 14, I will ascend above the heights of the cloud. I will be like the Most High. Satan had failed because he had a desire to be like God. And here's Satan. He used the right words and he tempted Eve. With the same thing, we see the three basic principles that's mirrored in the temptation of Jesus. Eve was walking by sight, not faith. She saw the tree, first of all, was good for food, the lust of the flesh. She saw that it was pleasant to the eyes, the lust of the eyes. She saw it was desirable for wisdom, the pride of life. See, Satan doesn't have any tools. That's new. He still is using the same tools today to try to deceive us, to try to lead us astray, to get us to mess up. He's still using the same tools. We see the delinquency, but we see the decision in verses 6 through 13. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I have commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? And the man said, the woman that thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the woman, what is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, the serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. They both passed the buck. They both passed the blame. Adam, he said, Lord, said God, the woman you gave me. She said, the serpent gave me. A lot of times we do the same thing. The world, they tend to do it. Well, God made me that way. God made me this way. I can't help it. But Christians, we often say, well, the devil tempted me. The devil devil got a hold of me. The devil got in my mind. A lot of times it's not the devil's fault. I don't believe the devil has to do near as much as we think he does. A lot of times I believe it's just us falling on our own because we're not staying close to God. We're not doing what we're supposed to do. But look here, Adam, he ate of the fruit knowingly in verse number 6. It's been said, what if Adam had run to God for help instead of eating the fruit? After all, Christ is called the second Adam, but we know Adam didn't, and he was never going to. God knew this, and he had a redemption plan from the beginning that didn't involve Adam. Adam listened to his wife instead of God, and then he tried to cover the shame with fig leaves. He tried to cover with his own works, and that's what the world's doing. There's two religions today. There's the religion of fig leaves, and then there's the blood-bought religion of trusting in what Jesus Christ did on Calvary. But a lot of people, they're just trying to sew fig leaves together. They're just relying on their own works. Look, Adam, he tried to hide from God instead of going to God. And that's the world. They run. They don't want to come to God. They don't want to get things right. They don't want to make things right. Billy Sunday said sinners can't find God for the same reason a thief cannot find a policeman. They aren't looking. Hey, don't expect a sinner. Don't expect people to be finding God. We need to pray for them, and we need to live godly, and we need to know and trust that God will find them. We need to take the gospel to this world, to this lost and dying world. We see the deliverance last of all. In verses 14 through 21, and the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and in dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception, and sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. And unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat of the herb of the field. And the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread till thou return unto the ground, for out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust thou shalt return. And Adam called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all living. Unto Adam also unto his wife did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothe them. Imagine the shock. They hadn't ever seen a death. They hadn't ever seen an animal slaughtered. But imagine the shock as God took and he made coats of skins as they slaughtered that animal in front of Adam and Eve. And they realized for the first time the great penalty, the great price that their sin had cost as they seen that animal die. And surely they did die. They didn't die immediately, but Adam and Eve, they slowly started to die from that day. But I'm glad there was deliverance. I'm glad that Christ, that he was prophesied. It was prophesied right here that there would be a Savior. Blood had to be shed. Hebrews 9:22, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. God promised to bring salvation. Note, it was woman's seed. It's not man's, is the first prophecy of the virgin birth. Now, Satan, he may have bruised Christ's heel on the cross, but no, the death blow came when Christ arose and he bruised his head. And I'm thankful today for our deliverance. I'm glad there was always a plan, but we need to be careful. We need to be careful. We need to realize Satan hasn't got any new tools in his toolbox. He hasn't got any new weapons in his arsenal. He's still using pride. He's still using the same tricks, the ignorance of God's word. He's still using the same things today to trip us up, to get us to mess up, to get us to mess up and go the wrong way. We need to make sure that we're working on that right relationship with our Lord God, our known God, the one that saved our soul, the one that we trust for our salvation. We need to follow him and listen to him. God bless.